Okay, so last week we discussed in the end of the second parak about the seven qualities that only God has, which one would need all of these seven qualities to be considered trustworthy, that someone can rely on them fully. The qualities include the fact that Hashem is the only one who nothing can get into the way of his plan. If he plans something, it happens. If I plan something, it might happen. It might also not happen. Hashem also has the means to be able to help anyone in any situation. Whilst if I confide in a friend of mine, if I'm going through a health thing and I confide in a friend of mine, very nice, he might give me a listening ear, but he won't be able to be the doctor. Whilst with Hashem, it's not like that. So we're starting now at the beginning of the third parak, where he's going to go through these seven things once again. It's going to be the third time that he goes through them. We usually read a little bit inside and then on the outside. All right. So the third parak starts off where now that we have these seven qualities that he said at the end of the second parak, only God has. So now he's going to talk about the five factors that obligate trust in God. And the first one is believing in those seven things that we learned last week. So he's going to go through them, the seven things first. I'll just jump to the end, just that we see where this is going to go, because it's going to take quite a bit of time to get there, so just so that we understand what is going on. So this parak is going to discuss, firstly, a person must understand that only God possesses the seven qualities that allow for trust, and therefore it follows that he should have bitachon in God and in no one else. Number two, one must realize that God knows even the innermost thoughts of a person, and therefore a person is not able to pay mere lip service to having bitachon. As in, Hashem knows if you're really relying on him, or if you're just saying that you're relying on him just to try getting yourself out of the situation. Number three, the person's trust should be solely in God and no one else in addition to God. Number four, bitachon has to be combined with serving God, which I think this is one of the things you see. Now I've spoken to lots of Israelis who are irreligious, yet when you discuss God with them, they believe everything. They believe Hashem is involved in every intricate detail of their life. And a lot of them, but it comes to the serving God, and they believe so much that they believe that Hashem doesn't need anything from them, which they're right. Hashem doesn't need anything from anyone. However, if you trust someone and the person says, "This, I want you to do this," and you trust the person's giving you something, and there needs to be two ways to the relationship. You can't just take from Hashem. So they're right that Hashem is giving them everything, and they feel that Hashem is giving them everything, but it comes to serving God back, and it's a little bit more difficult. So he says that one of the important things of bitachon is that it has to be combined with serving God. And the fifth thing that this chapter is going to discuss is the idea of hishtadlut, that a person must make effort to obtain his needs, and it will go into that in full depth when we get nearer to that. So I'll start reading inside. So the five factors that obligate trust in God. So we said that the first of the five is that a person has to believe in the seven things that we had, that we went through last week. Ach ha'akdamas asher beburon va'amitosin yishlam la'odam ha'bitachon b'lekim hein chomesh. There are five introductory concepts that, when properly understood and realized to be true, will cause a person to have complete trust in God. Achas mihen sheyamin v'yispora etzloi hiskapsos ha'shiva inyonim b'lekim. The first introduction is you must believe and clearly recognize that Hashem possesses all seven qualities. Which these seven qualities, when they are all present, and enable a person to trust in Him. I already mentioned them in the previous chapter and commented on them, citing the verses that were available to me, which prove that Hashem has these qualities. And now he's going to go through the seven qualities. So it has a note here that he actually does it in a bit of a different order to how he discussed it in the last chapter, but he still goes through it all. Harishon, the first quality that we need to believe that Hashem has is Shabari Sparach Merachim ala Adam Yosem Mikol Merachim, that Hashem has more compassion on a person than any other compassionate being. V'chol Rachimim V'chemla Sheyiyu Mizulasei Olav Kulam Heim Merachim Ha'el V'chemlasei. In fact, any compassion and mercy that a person receives from anyone else ultimately comes from God's compassion and mercy, because He is the one who stirs mercy and compassion in the heart of the other. In the heart of the other person towards him. As the pasuk says, and he will grant you compassion and be compassionate with you and multiply you. So this is one of the very important points that we need to realize, that Hashem is all giving, is all compassionate, and just wants to give us. He has mercy on us, and He always feels sorry for us. And even when we get help by someone else, if we're in a situation where someone comes over to us and the person really, you know, like oozes their compassion, you know, like they really want to hear you and they really give you the time of day and they really listen to you, that a person needs to realize that Hashem has sent that person, meaning any form of rachman that a person ever feels coming from outside, it's always coming from Hashem. So if you discuss with someone, if you speak to someone and that person shows you rachamim, he says here that it's important to realize that Hashem organized that person should be able to give you the rachamim when you need it. As in, Hashem used him as a messenger, but it's important to realize that all the compassion originates and is sent to you directly by Hashem. V'asheni, the second quality, a person must believe that the ways that benefit the person are not hidden from the Creator, may He be exalted. In fact, logic dictates that only God knows what is best for the person, as follows. V'hadin noisinzeh, logic dictates it, mipnei shehu echad mimasov, because the person is one of God's handiwork. And there is no one who knows better what is beneficial or harmful for that which has been made, as well as the troubles that may catch hold of it, the ways in which he becomes ill as well as healed, than the one who created it. So this is the classic principle that we have with our phones. When an Apple phone breaks, you don't go into a Samsung store for them to fix it, because you need to go to the people that understand your phone the best. And if you go into the people that understand your phone the best, then they'll be able to fix it. You go into a Samsung store and they're going to try doing it the way that they know how to do it. So he's saying that with Hashem, because we are each made by Hashem, and Hashem is God's handiwork, therefore, when we need any sort of fixing, we need to realize that God will know how to fix the best. Going to any doctor and relying on the doctors, and we're going to see later on that a person who's ill should go to doctors, a person who needs money should go get a job. But when you're doing any of these, you need to realize that the result itself is coming from upstairs. It's coming from God, not from the person that you are, not from the person that you think you are dealing with. So, if we find this to be true regarding objects made by human beings, who do not actually create anything new through their actions, other than the external form, if we find this to be true regarding objects made by human beings who do not actually create anything new through the actions other than the external form of the raw material, and who have no skill or power to create the raw material itself, as in we live in a world where whenever we need to make anything, we can only make things out of things that are already available in the world. We can't just, unlike in Harry Potter, you can't just take a magic wand and produce something out of nothing. Hashem was the only one, at the beginning of time, Hashem did Yesh Me Ayin, which Ayin, we translate it as nothingness, but Ayin obviously is not nothingness. Hashem was filling all the space in the world, and Hashem is still filling all the space in the world. Ayin, to us, we call everything something. We call this table is Yesh. To us, we call ourselves Yesh, we feel that we are something. So we say Yesh Me Ayin, that this came out of nothing, meaning that this wasn't there and Hashem made it there. The real way of understanding it is that it's actually backwards. It's actually hafuch. It's actually Hashem is Yesh. Hashem is something, and we are the nothing. We are just a part of Hashem that looks like it's separate, but really we are the nothing. But we are not able to make up new raw materials. We have to use raw materials to make other things out of it.
Huh? To assemble.
To assemble, as in, there's also changes that we have to put into raw material. Like, it's not just about taking it. Like, let's say wheat. The process from wheat to table is whatever, 10, 12 steps. But we are using things that are, already here. So he says that all the more so. So if with a human being who can only make yesh me yesh, who can only make something out of the materials, you would go to him, you would go to the creator of something to have that one item fixed. So let's say you'll go to the Apple shop to have your Apple phone fixed, even though all the materials inside there were available in the world, and yet you will still go to the creator. So he says definitely with God, who created the raw materials itself from which the person is made, as well as his form, and the orderly unity of the body and the soul, as well as the interaction between the various bodily parts, it therefore follows that Hashem is certainly the wise one who knows what will benefit the person and what will harm him, and what is good for him both in this world and in the world to come. Now he brings two verses to support this point, that it's that you should always go back to the creator, because the creator of something always knows the ins and outs best. As it is written in Yeshaya, I am the Lord your God who teaches you for your benefit, who leads you by the way you should go. And it says, for the Lord rebukes the one he loves as a father placates a son. Sorry, I went to Eitzchayim.
I have to
push
out.
Yeah. The second verse is quoted as support for the concept that even seemingly bad things are ultimately for our benefit. Since God loves us, he sometimes needs to rebuke us. Vehashlishi, the third quality that we need to believe that Hashem has in order to be able to rely on him and trust him. Ki abayre yisparach chazak mikol chazak, v'devare nigzom mikol davar, v'ein meshev dinoy. Hashem is stronger than any other strong being. His word is more absolute than any other person's words. And no one can overrule his decisions. So this is a quite basic concept, as in it's quite obvious when you realize that Hashem made all the strong people that we know. So once you believe, as in once we've gone, that was the previous point, but once we believe that Hashem has created all the strongest people, so therefore if he was able to create the strong people, it must be that he is stronger than the strong people that he created. If he's created all of the materials that we can use, in like weapons and everything, it means that Hashem is more mighty, is more scary, is more everything than everyone.
He's greater than the sum of all.
He's greater than the sum of all. Yeah. As in, really, we can't really compare, meaning that we know he's bigger, but we can't grasp how much, because infinity, compared to infinity, infinity is a number that any number you could ever think of isn't taking you any closer to infinity than the number one. 100 trillion gazillion. Is the same as one when you compare it to infinity, because infinity is on a completely separate what's it called?
Spectrum.
So now it brings two psukim to prove that Hashem is stronger than everything, and that no one is able to overrule his decision. Everything that Hashem wants to do happens. So shall be my word that emanates from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty unless it has done what I desire. Meaning Hashem says, as soon as I say something, it's not going to come back to me and say, oh, you know, I wasn't sure what you meant. If Hashem gives an instruction, the instruction happens. The fourth quality that Hashem has, ki hu mashkiach al hanhogas in yonei ha'odam kulam lo yanichem lo yisalim mihem lo yisosim mimenu dova mihem miktanam akadolam lo yashkichehu dova es dova. The fourth quality that God supervises the governance of all people. He does not forsake them, rather he helps them with all their needs. He does not ignore them when they are in a time of hardship, nor are any of their matters concealed from him, whether small or large, nor does his being involved in one matter cause him to forget about another matter. So we talk about multitasking, we say, you know, that ladies can do a little bit more than us. Hashem is multitasking right now. He's in 8 billion people's lives and brains, orchestrating the smallest parts of the life, whether they're hot or cold, whether they don't have, whether they're healthy, whether they're breathing, whether the heart's pumping, all these different things. Hashem is doing everything at the same time. And he doesn't leave anyone alone for a second. Two verses are brought to support this point. Why should you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel. My way has been hidden from the Lord, and from my God my judgment passes. So this is, it says here, in this verse, the prophet is telling off the Jewish people for complaining that God does not supervise them and does not mete out justice to their enemies. It also says, do you not know, if you have not heard, the Lord is an everlasting God, and he is the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither tires nor wearies, there is no fathoming his understanding. The fifth quality that God possesses, which makes him trustable, no creation has the power to help himself or harm himself, or to help or harm another person without the permission of the Creator, may he be blessed. Meaning, nothing can possibly happen behind his back. So anything that is happening, any person that's doing any sort of decision, it's happening with the permission of Hashem. For when a servant has more than one master, and each one is able to help him, it doesn't make any sense for the servant to rely just on one of the masters, because he expects to be helped by each of them. And if one of them is more capable of helping him than the others, so, for example, someone working in a palace where you've got a whole royal family, and this person is serving all the royal family, so he might be serving them all, and they might all be able to help him with little things. If he wants something, if he needs a bit of food from the kitchen, they might all be happy to. But if there's one that helps him, that has the last say in the matter, let's say the boss, the king, or whoever it is, or it could be in a company where there's all different levels of managers. So if you have a manager in the morning and a manager in the afternoon and a manager in the evening for all different things, the one that they have to answer to, if you ever speak to the one that they have to answer to, then he is more trustworthy because he can make more of the decisions than each of these individual people. So when there's one person around who can make more of the decisions, then automatically you want to rely on them more. So what he's trying to get to here is that obviously that Hashem, he's 24/7, and everyone is essentially answerable to him. Therefore, it makes the most sense to rely on him straight.
And just with him.
What did he say?
Don't need to waste that energy elsewhere.
Right.
Isn't the approach of what for? This is the guy who appointed or created all those small things. They're just like his creation anyway. So go to the source. He's there all the time. He's the biggest. So why do you want to distract yourself if it doesn't
work? We speak to the super.
Yeah. Straight.
So that's why it's in this. He didn't separate the Hishtadlut into a separate thing. He had to put the Hishtadlut into here, because once you understand that you just have to go straight to Hashem, then he's going to then have to explain, so then what's the point of going to work? Why do I need to go to work? I can just go straight to Hashem. If I'm relying on Hashem, so I'm not relying on my boss to pay my salary, I'm relying on Hashem straight. So why should I go to work so that my boss can give me a salary when I can just go straight to Hashem? And as we're going to see later on, he's going to explain that actually the reason why we go to work is for two other reasons. It's not for the outcome, it's not for the result. It happens to be that the result, usually Hashem sends it through the work that you're doing. But there's actually different reasons why a person goes to work, because that's one of the main ways of building a relationship with God. That we'll see, it's about, I think, another like 40, 50 pages time, so we'll get there eventually. If only one of them is able to help him or cause him harm, he will be forced to rely on him alone, because he does not expect to be helped by anyone other than him. So if he's working in a big company and only one person can help him, then definitely he will only rely on that one person. Similarly, when a person feels that no creation can either help him or harm him without the permission of Hashem, he will feel calm from other people and will stop relying on them. Do not trust in princes, in the Son of Man who has no salvation. So this, if you remember from the introduction, he said that the real translation of bitachon, we translate it as trust, there's belief and trust. He says that the real translation of bitachon is not just trust, it's a calm. It's a calm that comes from the trust. Trust is the means to changing how a person feels internally. We said that the emunah, knowing that there's a God, is in our brains. We have to transfer it from our brains into our feelings, which is the process of bitachon, which is the process of learning how to do that. But he said ultimately what it leads to is a calm, laid back, tranquil life. So here, the first time since the beginning of the book, other than in the introduction, where he explains how that tranquil feeling comes about. He basically has gone through. He says, imagine you work for a place where there's three or four people that you're answerable to, but one of them helps you more, you'll rely more on that person. Because you know that when something hits the fan, that person there is going to be there to back you. Now, if there's only one person to rely on, obviously you'll put everything into him. So he says, when a person feels that no one can do any harm to you, unless Hashem has decided it, then you can be much, much calmer. Because whatever situation you get into, you can feel and know that whatever happened in the situation, Hashem has decided it for me. I might not like it, but I can still be calm. Because if Hashem has decided it for me, nothing's going to change it anyway. So whichever way you look at it, either things are going to work out well, great. All things are going to go in a way that I don't like them, but nothing that I do, nothing that I feel, nothing that I tell myself is going to change it anyway. So either way, he says that you can deal with the people around you in a much, much, much calmer state. You're going to a business meeting. You don't know if the business meeting is going to go well or not well. But when you realize that Hashem has decided the exact outcome, and Hashem is going to decide whether the guy sitting opposite you is going to be rude to you, whether he's going to be nice to you, all of that, because we said all the compassion, if he's really nice, if he's really warm to you, and he says, oh, I'm so sorry about this, that, and the other, and then the business meeting goes really well, where does the compassion come from? It also comes from Hashem. Meaning that this is the first time that he is actually speaking out how practically, once, as in, if you believe in these various statements that we've said, if you believe that Hashem created everyone, and that essentially nothing is happening behind God's back, then when you're in a situation, he tells us how we could download that information to help us feel calm.
How's it going, Jake, baby?
I mean, that is, if we can get there, we're going to be in a good place. That is quite a journey.
It is a journey. This was written 1,000 years ago.
We've got 10 minutes. Yeah. We've got to put a double leg speed. Let's go.
This was written 1,000 years ago, but it's the main part of the Rishon. The reason why we need to have trust is obviously we can't see God. We don't see him anywhere. Well, we don't see a physical representation of him anywhere. And therefore, we have, let's say, Pesach every year, which on Pesach, our parents tell us that the story that they heard from their parents, that once upon a time, nature went and deviated from its coding. It went and changed. There was blood, there was water, there was hailstone. And all these different things are all very nice. These give us faith. But this whole book is explaining how to take it from a faith. And he works through every type of scenario possible that can come up in work, he speaks about. Even though it was written 1,000 years ago, because he's not speaking about it from a way of inventing new ideas and just take my word for it. He's going through and he's building through logic that if we stop to think about the things that we believe in, and we stop and we actually work through the process of, okay, so if God made me, and then he surely knows me best. Meaning, he said that the same way that anything that we see made in this world, we go back to this world. So if God made me, he knows me best. So if I believe that God made me, which I do believe that God made me, once I've got that, it's all very sweet. So I believe that God made me. So God somewhere in the sky made me. But he says, but if you think about it, you can use it for your own benefit. Because when I need something now, it'll feel much better going into the Apple shop to have your iPhone fixed rather than going into the Samsung shop. So if I need something now...
It actually works.
So if I need something now, it feels much easier, much more sensible to go to the next tefillah and to actually talk to Hashem, to actually talk to God and say, God, listen, this has all gone wrong. This is not how I wanted it to be. But I know that you love me, that you care about me.
I want an iPhone.
The two most interesting things about iPhone, the bite in the apple. It's there to remind us the first time that someone sinned Also, the old Nokia phones, they have the game Snake on them. Also, a snake going around eating an apple. Can't make this sort of stuff up. But that's the thing, that God made everything in the world. God also, all the things that are created in the world, Hashem has the best version of it. So in Chesed, he has the best version. In Yuma as well, Hashem has the best. Chahameini. Yeah. So Chahameini, it means that 80 years ago, when his parents were naming him, Hashem knew that in 80 years' time, because for Hashem, timing is nothing, but Hashem knew that in 80 years' time, he's going to get killed the week before Purim. So let's put Haman into his name. So Hashem made his parents call him Chahameini, so that we can all enjoy on our WhatsApp status, Chahameini. And all these little things, all these random things that we see, because we know that Hashem is involved in every single detail, and we need to work our whole lives on trying to get this into our core, as in, this book is not a book that you learn the concepts and then life just happens. Until the very last day of our lives, there's still going to be tests, and by definition, a test is, most of the tests that we have are tests on our faith. When we go into a test, something suddenly changes in our circumstances, in any what way, health, wealth, kids, it could be anything. When that test comes along, that is a test of our trust. That is a test of, in this situation now, will you be able to see that this is coming from God and that God is the only one with the solutions? Or are you going to try to take your own control or try to turn to other people who you think will be able to get you out of it? And then a person goes down that route and eventually cycles back and comes to the beginning. Right, I think we'll leave it here. Shkoyach. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.
There, that sounded easy. That was good. That was a good detox. 20 minutes, we're there. What's the